The Columbia Workshop, under the direction of William N. Robeson, presents The Fisherman and His Soul by Oscar Wilde.
Every evening, a young fisherman went out upon the sea and threw his nets upon the water. One evening, the net was so heavy that he could hardly draw it into the boat. And he tugged at the coarse ropes till the long veins rose up on his arms. Nearer and nearer came the circle of flat corks, and the net rose at last to the top of the water. But no fish at all was in it, nor any monster, but only a little mermaid lying fast asleep.
And now by all the fish that swim, what have I here? Come, open your eyes. Wake up.
Oh, but what is this that holds me fast? Fisherman, let me go.
Whatever swims into my net, that thing I keep.
No.
Now tell me, shall I sell you to the queen?
Oh, no.
What shall I do then?
Cut loose the rope and let me go. I beg you from the bottom of my heart.
I did not know a mermaid had a heart. Aye. And tears, too, I see. Why do you cry?
Because my father waits for me. And he is old and all alone.
But I am young. And also all alone. And though I did not know it until now, I think I've been waiting for you, too.
Fisherman, please.
What will you give me if I let you go?
Ask anything of me. I promise you shall have it.
Anything?
Aye.
Well, then promise me this, that whenever I call, you'll come and sing to me. For the fish delight to hear the song of the sea folk. And when they draw near, then shall my nets be full.
Will you in very truth let me go if I promise this?
In very truth, I'll let you go.
And then always will I come when you call.
And every evening from that time on, the young fisherman went out upon the sea and called to the mermaid. And she rose out of the water and sang to him. And each day the sound of her voice became sweeter to his ears. So sweet was her voice that he forgot his nets and had no care of his craft. With lips parted and eyes dim with wonder, he sat idle in his boat and listened.
Look into my eyes. Can you not read there that I love you?
In my eyes also, you may read the same. You see. But we must both forget about such things.
No. Tell me why.
Because you have a human soul and I have none. If only you could send your soul away, then I might love you as you wish.
And is that all?
Aye.
It shall be done. Of what use is my soul to me? I cannot see it. I cannot touch it. I do not even know it. How can I miss that which I do not know?
If you do this, then we will be together all life long under the sea. But wait. Perhaps your soul cannot be sent away.
Oh, I will go to the priest and tell him how it is with you and me. I will speak about our love and beg him on my knees. And mayhap he will tell me how to send my soul away.
And then you will return.
Oh, I promise.
And when I hear your voice across the sand, I'll come to meet you.
Wait for me, my love. Wait for me.
My son, do you have need of me?
Give me your blessing, Father. Then let me speak.
In nomine Patris et Filius Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
And now tell me what troubles you.
Father, I'm in love with one of the sea folk.
What?
And my soul is keeping me from my desire. Tell me, how may I send my soul away?
You are mad. Mad. The sea folk are already lost, and those who would traffic with them are lost also.
Well, if they are lost, then let me be lost with them. For I love her.
Oh.
Oh, tell me, Father. Does not heaven count all love as good?
No, no.
Well, then gladly I surrender heaven and find my love in my own way.
My son, come back, come back. Where go you?
I go to the cave at the head of the bay to speak to the red-haired one. It may be she will help me.
No, no, that one is evil. She is a witch. Come back, come back.
What do you like? What do you like? Fish for your net when the wind is foul? Tell me, what do you like?
Yes, but you're a young witch. As young as myself.
And does that frighten you? Pretty boy, what do you like? I have a little reed pipe, and when I blow on it, the fish comes sailing into the bay. But it has a price. It has a price. What do you lack? A storm to wreck the ships and wash the treasure chest ashore? Tell me your desire, and I will give it to you.
Well, my desire is but for a little thing. I want to send my soul away from me. It stands between me and the thing I love.
Tell me, whom do you love?
Well, I love one of the sea folk, and oh, I'd give my soul to be with her.
And if I tell you how this thing is done, what will you give me in return?
Oh, 5 pieces of gold and my painted boat?
5 pieces of gold and a painted boat. I do not need your goods. He whom I serve is richer than all the kings of this world.
Yes, but then what can I give you if the price is neither gold nor silver?
You must dance with me.
Not but that?
Not but that.
Oh, then we will dance. Or rather, I would have paid in gold or silver, but oh, yes, you shall have the price you ask.
And you shall have your wish. Perhaps after we dance. Put your arms around me. Then, faster.
I cannot.
You promised you would pay. Tell me, am I not fair as she?
I cannot think. I cannot breathe.
Only think that I am here. Hold
me. My love is waiting.
Have you known redder lips than mine? Have you known softer flesh?
Your breath is hot upon my face.
Your heart beats close upon my own. Closer. Closer. Faster!
What is it? Why is everything so still? I thought I heard somebody come, but who?
It is he, the master, whom I serve.
Oh, I see him now under this tree, but there is something of a king about him, yet I never saw a sadder face before.
Come, we will go to him.
Yes, but what shall I say? What shall I do?
You will kneel and worship him as I do.
I will worship him in the only way I know.
You have done the thing that may not be done.
I've only made the sign of the cross.
Let me go! Let me go!
No, you cannot go until you teach me how to lose my
soul. No, I know nothing. Forget the bargain that we made.
If you do not keep your promise to me, I will slay you for a false witch.
Then be it so. It is your soul, not mine. Do with it as you will. Here, take this.
Yes. Yes, this is nothing but a little knife. How can this serve me?
Listen to me well, for it may be that I shall never see you again. What men call the shadow of the body is not a shadow. It is the body of the soul. Go down to the seashore and stand with your back to the moon. Then cut away your shadow, which lies along the sand. For in truth it is not your shadow, but your soul. And bid it leave you, and it will do so.
Is this true?
It is true. And I would that I had never told you.
My soul away, and then she'll come. Here's the little knife. My back turned to the moon. Ah, yes, 'tis true. For there it lies along the sand. My soul. Ah, one moment more, and I am free. There!
Servant, send me not away from thee now.
Who speaks?
I am the one thou hast never seen, never touched, never known.
And you are my soul?
Aye. And what evil have I done thee that I must go?
Oh, you have done me no evil, but I have no need of you.
It may be so that I have need of thee. For what can I do alone?
Oh, the world is wide. Go where'er you will, but trouble me no more.
If indeed thou must drive me from thee, send me not forth without a heart. The world is cruel. Give me thy heart to take with me.
Oh, no, no, that I cannot do. I grieve to give you pain, but my heart belongs to my love.
Should I not love also?
Oh, and never let me see. No, never let me see your face from this day on. Go!
Nay, but we two shall meet again.
Oh, how can that be? You cannot follow me to the depths of the sea.
I cannot follow, that is true. But once every year I will come to this place and call to thee. It may be that thou wilt have need of me.
I tell you, I shall never need you again. Never. Here, stand here beside me and listen. Then you'll understand. Hello? Hello? I've come back to you. I've returned.
What have you done? What have you done?
I've sent my soul away, and now I'm free.
He has come.
And let us go.
And never will we be apart again.
Never apart.
Come.
Once every year, the soul came down to the shore of the sea and called to the young fisherman. And the soul tempted him with riches and with wisdom and with the wonders he had seen in the world. But always did the fisherman reply,
"No, no, love is better."
And after the third year was over, the soul came down to the shore of the sea once more and called to the young fisherman, and he rose out of the deep and said,
Why do you call me?
I beg thee, hear me out. This time I do not offer gold, nor wisdom, nor do I tempt thee from thy love. But in the north where I have been, I saw the greatest thing of all.
But what is that to me? Again I tell you that I have the greatest thing of all.
That may be true, but hast thou no desire to see one thing that has been lost to thee? Come, feast thine eyes upon this sight, and then thou canst return.
No. What is this thing?
A dancing girl. A girl with dancing feet.
Girl? Dancing feet? Yes. Yes, that would be a marvel, for I have not seen the like in many years.
Then come with me. Tis but a day away, and easy to return.
Only a day? No, no, I cannot.
She is veiled with a veil of gauze, and naked are her feet. Little white pigeons are her feet. Little white birds that dance.
A girl with dancing feet. Only a day from here, you say?
Only a day.
Then I will go with you and see this thing. For it can do no harm, and then I can return to my love.
Then suffer me to enter into thee again and be thy servant.
It shall be done. 'Tis only for a day. Come.
And his soul entered into him, and they were one, even as they were before. So they made haste, and all that night they journeyed, and all the next day, until they came to a city. But it was not the city they sought. And they came upon the street of the jewelers, and saw a fair silver cup set forth in a booth. And the fisherman's soul said to him,
"Take that silver cup and hide it."
And he did so, saying,
"Why do you bid me do this thing? For it is an evil thing to do."
And his soul said nothing, and they journeyed on. On the evening of the second day, they came into another city. And still it was not the city they sought. And in the street of the sandals, they saw a child standing by a jar of water. And his soul said to him,
"Smite that child."
And he did so, saying,
"Why do you bid me do this thing? For it is an evil thing to do."
And his soul said nothing. Then on the evening of the third day, they came upon another city. Still, it was not the city they sought. And in the marketplace, they came upon a merchant who took them to his house and gave them food and drink. And the fisherman's soul said to him,
"Take this man and rob him of his purse of gold."
And he did so. But when he saw the merchant lying dead, he cried aloud and said,
"Why did you bid me do this thing? And why did I obey? Surely you are evil."
"Be at peace. Be at peace."
"I cannot be at peace, for you have made me do these things I hate. Why do you treat me thus?"
"I will tell thee. When thou didst send me forth into the world, thou gavest me no heart. Therefore I learned to do these evil things and love them."
"What do you say?"
"Thou knowest well. Hast thou forgotten that thou gavest me no heart, although I pled with thee?"
"I could not give my heart to you. It was my love's. And now you've tempted me away from her. Be gone, for I am done with you forever. You are an evil thing. Be gone."
"It is too late, for I have ended in thee."
"No, no, you and I are done. I'll send you away from us again, even as you went before. I'll take this magic knife and cut you from me, and never shall you enter me again. Go, go, leave me."
"I may not leave thee, nor canst thou drive me forth. Once in his life a man may send his soul away, but he who receiveth back his soul must keep it with him forever. And this is his punishment and reward.
That's not true. I will go back to the place where my love is waiting. And I will call to her and tell her of the evil you have made me do. Then she'll understand and take me in her arms. Yes, yes, I'll go to the sea and call her. And she'll come to me. She thinks I have forgotten. It may be that she thinks I tired of her.
The pleasures of the world are sweet to know. Come thou with me, and we shall find another love more fair.
I want no other love.
Mermaid! I've returned!
There is no answer but the wind.
Then, if she'll not come to me, here I will stay. And wait until the world shall end.
Lo, I have tempted thee with good and evil, and thy love is stronger than I. For though I have returned into thy body, still is thy heart closed against me. Wherefore I pray thee, let me enter into thy heart, and so shall we both be as we were before.
Come then, for now I know that I have wronged you. For when I sent you forth without a heart, it may be that you suffered too, even as I do now. Come.
Alas, I am lost. So burdened with love is this heart of thine. There is no room in it for me.
Oh, yet I would help you if I could. I think it may be that we both are lost.
Nay, call her again once more. Call her again.
My love, hear me. Hear me, I pray. Give me a sign to let me know that you've not forgotten.
She comes. She's heard me at last.
Aye. Thy love returns. Thy love returns to thee upon the tide. But she is dead.
My love, so cold in my arms. You cannot put your little hands about my neck, but I will place them there. Better than wisdom, more precious than riches, and fairer than the feet of the daughters of men. For I have looked upon evil and looked upon good, and ever did I keep myself for you, alone.
Master, I beg thee, come away. The sea is rising, and surely thou wilt drown, and I will be forever lost.
Not lost, but with me, as we were before.
How can that be? Oh, Master, I understand. For now thy heart has broken with its pain. And there is room for me.
And in the morning the priest went forth to bless the sea, for it had been troubled. And with him went an altar boy who was wont to help him in such matters. And when they reached the shore, they saw the young fisherman lying drowned in the surf, and clasped in his arms was the body of the little mermaid. And the priest made the sign of the cross and cried aloud in anger,
I will not bless the sea nor anything that is in it. Accursed be the sea folk. and accursed be all they who traffic with them.
Father, I do not understand. What has he done that he should die unshriven?
For love's sake, he forsook his soul, and so he lies there dead.
And yet I never saw before me such peace upon a face.
Stand back. You shall not look upon this evil thing. Go. Go to the marketplace and find me 2 strong men.
And what shall I tell them, Father?
Tell them to take these bodies up and bury them. Bury them in a corner of the barren field, and set no mark above them, nor any sign of any kind.
How can they rest within the barren field? The place is filled with stones, and nothing grows, not even grass.
There is no rest for them. Accursed were they in their lives, and accursed shall they be in their deaths also.
And when 3 years had passed, there came a holy day, and the priest went up to the chapel that he might speak to his people and remind them of God's wrath. For the anger was still in his heart. And when he bowed himself before the altar, he saw that it was covered with strange flowers that he had never seen before. They were of a curious beauty, and their odor was sweet on the air. Beside him stood the altar boy, the same who had gone with him to the sea that day. And he began to speak to the people and remind them of God's wrath.
For if a man should send his soul away, then he himself is lost. For him there is no heaven and no hell. Forsaken by the world, he lies alone, and none shall ever know his resting place. He is one with the beasts of the field, for he put his soul away for love, and that is an evil thing. And when the day of reckoning shall come, then he will know that. He will know that if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a changing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and have not love, I am nothing. I cannot read the sermon I have written. From my mouth comes words that I have never said before. There is a presence in this place, a newborn sweetness in the air. Tell me, what are these flowers that stand on the altar? And where are they from?
What flowers they are, we do not know. But they come from the corner of the barren field.
The corner of the barren field? Oh, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I stand ashamed before thee. I have done thee a great wrong. For many years I preached thy word, but in my heart I knew it not. Not until now. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these 3. And the greatest of these is love.
You have just heard the Columbia Workshops presentation of The Fisherman and His Soul by Oscar Wilde. The story was adapted for radio by Hilda Lawrence, and the original orchestral score was composed by Tom Bennett. Bernard Herrmann conducted the orchestra, and the entire production was under the direction of William N. Robeson. The Columbia Workshop again requests your comments, criticisms, or suggestions on tonight's broadcast, and asks that you address them to the workshop in care of the Columbia Network, New York City. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.